This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
Hello and welcome to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire, I go by Clizair on the internet. And this is the podcast where I invite people on to tell me their best stories. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon, as always, by the patrons on the Storytime Superhero tier on Patreon. And this week's featured Patreon producer is James. Just James. Like Madonna. Thank you so much, James, for your ongoing support. Please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/Clizair. Links are down below in the description and in the show notes on the audio platforms.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome to the Storytime Podcast. And this week I have with me Linda Coogan-Byrne. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am good. Thank you so much for joining me. Would you like to introduce yourself, tell the people where to find you online?
I will indeed. My name is Linda Coogan-Byrne. I'm an activist and campaigner, and I'm also a music consultant in the incredibly insane music industry. You can find me at Linda Coogan-Byrne. Most handles are just at Linda Coogan-Byrne. And the organization that I work with and that I founded is called Why Not Her. And this was hashtag Why Not Her or else at Why Not Her. And so that's it. The two very, very simple tags. Anyone can look me up very easily.
Yep. And I'll have the links as well in the YouTube description box and in the show notes on the audio platform so people can just go down and click. So yep. You have a story for me today.
I do. Sure. Story time is great. I discovered the podcast with you had another Linda guest on.
Yes, and she was talking recently.
She was talking about her pregnancy, and I don't think I'll ever have kids now.
Yeah, that was I wasn't expecting the story to go that way.
Oh my god. But I just loved the whole kind of how it was orienteered and the the flow of the podcast, and so I'm delighted to be here. And I actually met Linda because I was working the Why Not Her campaign, and she's such a huge activist and feminist as well. And so basically, it being COVID, last year I came over to attend my niece's 18th birthday in Ireland. I've lived in London for the last few years. Anyway, come over, and it was the week of the 13th of March, which was the week of the first lockdown. Dum, dum, dum. And I was to attend the birthday party, and then this country just went on total lockdown. I couldn't get back to London. I was stuck living on an airbed in my sister's apartment in the sitting room on the floor for I think 4.5 months. Everything just changed completely. And I was actually talking to my friend about this the other day. She's a tour manager for Beyonce, and she did it with Michelle Obama's book tour and stuff. Like, we both have really kind of cool jobs, and it's kind of, we were just kind of saying, oh my god, what have you been up to the last while? And we've just been, she's in Cork, and I was like, yeah, I've been in, between Meath and Dublin the last few months. And it's such a difference, because usually it's like, hey, where are you? I'm in New York, or I'm in LA, and it's just kind of such a huge change, but within that period I kind of thought, the music industry is decimated. It's just devastated. A lot of people out of work, a lot of my friends out of work, a lot of my colleagues out of work. I've lost so many clients. We all have. And I just thought, what's the best, what is the only way now that people can make revenue in music? Like, obviously it's royalties, it's airtime. Streaming, as you know, if you're in the industry, you kind of know that streaming doesn't give you a lot of royalties. So radio is kind of king and queen of where the revenue is going to come for an artist. So I looked at what was kind of going on in Ireland. I have been based in London, so my staff had kind of been telling me the last, few months that they were kind of noticing how much more the male artists were getting airtime and the male artists were getting on different platforms. Yeah. And just in terms of like heavy rotation on playlists. Now, I've noticed that myself, but I was very busy, and I'm always kind of working on different campaigns and stuff. And, it wasn't up to me to take on the entire radio system in Ireland until I kind of had a lot of time in COVID. And I said, I don't know whether I can curse in this podcast, kind of curse. I said, fuck it. It's a time where we have to look at what's going on at home. And I was in Ireland and I did some research. I used a radio monitor site called Radio Monitor, where I can go back a few years and see what the data looked like as to what was played heavy rotation on radio, like the top 20, the top 50, and the majority was men, it was male Irish artists. And I got in touch with a friend of mine, and she's one of my clients as well, Anya Tyrrell, an amazing, amazing folk singer, songwriter, wordsmith, songsmith, a poet. Like, she's just brilliant. And the daughter of Sean Tyrrell as well, very infamous Irish traditional folk singer and writer as well. Just comes from a great kind of dynasty of creatives, if you will. Yeah. But she couldn't make any money in Ireland, so she moved over to Australia, and she's playing all the major festivals over there. She's been, you know, hailed as one of the best artists, you know, in the folk scene, and she's doing great.
Wow.
And she was, I was kind of like, you know, why did she have to leave Ireland? Why is there such a huge diaspora of female artists that cannot make it in Ireland and have to go abroad? So anyway, so we were having this conversation back and forth, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to ask Radio a question. So she says, I never forget the call. She says, what are you going to ask him? I said, I'm going to ask him, why not her? Like, why is it always a man? Why is it always a male artist? Why are women always silenced off the airwaves? Because that's what's happening, you know? So anyway, so we took the data and we looked at 5 years. And then we went, holy shit, this is absolutely horrific. So I said, we'll just go by 1 year. We'll go back 1 year and see if it's as bad, because I don't think people will be ready to digest how bad it would be if we did the 5 year period. Wow. So we went and did 1 year, because we kind of said, well, you know what? Soleil has done well. And, you know, you've Amy, you've all these like really cool female artists. And, you know, Ruth Ann writes for John Legend, and she writes all Niall Horan songs, and she just released an album. So surely it's going to be good for them. It was just horrific. Like, so we discovered that 85% of heavy rotation given to Irish artists went to Irish male artists across radio stations. And by radio stations, we included regional, national and commercial stations in Ireland. In total, there was 27 stations. We excluded community and college stations because they don't really make or break an artist, you know, so we didn't feel, and we only had a limited amount of time to do the kind of data study. And a lot of people have kind of gone, oh, why didn't you?
Presumably they wouldn't have like the system set up in terms of the rights and the recording, the data recording and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. Some of them would, some of them wouldn't. But at the end of the day, we did this with our free time and we did it the way we did it. That's really it, you know. So we put the report together. So we discovered that, you know, less than 8% that was played on the radio was women, and the rest were collaborative artists. So, which was mixed between male and female, kind of, you know, this artist featuring this artist kind of like thing. So it was really kind of...
That's really eye-opening.
Oh, it was really, really, really... I rang her, and Anya's in Australia. So when I rang her, I was in the morning, she was in the nighttime, and I'd sent across stuff. We've been doing the report online. So the two of us were editing it using Canva, which is a great platform where you can build templates and data and stuff like that. And I said, look, what are we going to do? Like, what I said, I do have a lot of work in Ireland, and if I put this out, I know the way our Irish the mentality is, like, they will annihilate me, you know. And then I thought, I'm going to have to talk to my family first, you know. So I went back, talked to my mother, talked to my sister. I was obviously at home, so I had that kind of security blanket. And for the first time, I had actually stayed with my sister for a few months, and I got really close with her. I'd just gone through a really bad breakup. She'd just gone through an end of a long partnership with somebody. And, you know, we were at this vulnerable place, but we were also at a place where we were healing, and we felt empowered by each other and supported by each other. So it was a very safe kind of environment, if you will. So I went back and spoke to my family and my sister and that, and I said, look, I probably will lose a lot of work in Ireland if I do this, but at the same time, I work a lot outside of Ireland, so if I do, I probably won't be able to come back as much, like, after COVID, little did I know, sure, Jesus, we're still in COVID. But I just said, you know, it'll be a big risk. I'd probably be stressed for a few months, so you'll have to listen to me whinging. So they were like laughing, going, go on, do it. Like, sure, Jesus, just do it. Do what makes you feel, you know, that you're doing the right thing. So that was that. And I had looked at a lot of the, you know, Waking the Feminist, the Women on Air. Margaret E. Ward is just somebody that I just was so inspirational for me for a long time. Dr. Brenda Donahue, she's a researcher. Did a lot of data stuff herself. And I just kind of, I was always kind of looking at these women from a distance over the last probably like 5-6 year period, and kind of thinking, oh, I wish I could do that. Like, I wish I had, you know, the guts and the, you know, just not giving a shit. Like, and I said, well, do you know what? What do I have to lose? Everyone's after losing everything in COVID. So that was the kind of precipice of where Why Not Sure came from. So I went back to Anya and I said, look, I'm after chatting with everybody. They've agreed that my demise is imminent. So it was kind of, so we just said, right, let's do it. Like, fuck it, let's do it. So that was that. So we put together the report, we finished it off, and I got in touch with a few journalists. They were absolutely shocked. They were like, have you got the data that you actually use? And I said, yeah, I have it all here. Like, you know, because they didn't believe. They were like, I think we have to look to this. So I had to send the likes of the Irish Times and different publications, the editing team and their data team. I had to send them all the figures, all the kind of Excel sheets that they double check, fact check, because this is a really serious thing that we were going to do.
Yeah.
So all fact checking and everything aside, it was like, yeah, this is what it is. And so we put it out, and I had no idea what I was going to start. I really didn't. Like, you know, people kind of think, you know, did you really know what was going to happen? I said, nah. There's been so many women before me that have carried, you know, the flame, the torch, and they've tried to do what we are doing. And I don't know why it's working now, but maybe it is COVID. Maybe it is that everyone is kind of thinking, you know, now is a good time. Like, people are not
timing
as
is everything.
Yeah. So it was kind of one of them situations where we put something out, and like within a week, we put it out on the 24th of June last year. And I think it was within like the first week, we'd got 20 million views of the report.
Oof, wow.
It just went, it like trended over 5 times in Twitter and in Europe. Twitter, it was just crazy. And everyone was kind of like, what the hell, like what's happening in Ireland? And I'd obviously worked in the UK. So I had like the Guardian, the Sunday Times, the Times, like everyone kind of ringing me, Channel 4, like Channel 5, like all these different outlets. And of course, I was like, Jesus, I didn't think it was going to be really like this. And they were like, did you do one for the UK? And I was just kind of like, no, I didn't even think of it. So it was all very kind of like huge and coming on top. And I was just really overwhelmed. And I just thought, well, OK, well, sure, why not? Let's do one in the UK. But within the weeks that the first report came out in Ireland, it just snowballed. And everyone was kind of, you know, wow, what the hell? And we had so many different, you know, female artists that then spoke out and spoke up, and women that worked in the industry for a long time had spoke about their experiences. And, you know, it was really eye-opening, because it went deeper than just not being heard on the airwaves. There was a lot of, you know, women came out about, you know, sexual assault cases. And, you know, Misha Foster, I don't know whether you've heard of Misha Foster, but the girls do wonderful work where they spoke and they're shining a light on a lot of the sexual assault and crime and
yeah,
and
so I know what Misha Foster is, but do you want to just give a quick explainer for like the outside of Ireland people listening?
Yeah, so Misha Foster is a collective of people in the trad and folk scene that have come together along with the Fair Play Collective, which is run by Karen and Pauline, two wonderful women within the Irish music scene, the folk scene in particular. And they, one of the girls, I think it was on like an Instagram post, they just put up, you know what, I had an incident with this person within the scene, and somebody else then messaged her, and then it literally landslided, and everyone was like, yeah, you know, we actually had an experience with this person. So did I, so did I, so did I. So it was just, and then everyone started opening a conversation of their, you know, experiences of getting sexually harassed, sexually assaulted, even raped.
Yeah, so for the Americans listening, Misha Foster means Me Too.
Me Too.
In Irish.
Yeah, Australia for Me Too.
And so trad and folk would be traditionally kind of Irish music, sort of like cultural things. So that makes sense that it was in Australia.
Yeah, so it was huge. Like, it was kind of, it was a lot, you know. It really was. It was a lot to take. It was a lot to absorb and process. And process has been a word that I really now know the meaning of, it, because when something like this really blows up, it does take you a long time to process it, because it has so many implications. It has so many routes and paths towards change. And, you know, before I knew it, it was like, oh, you know, in interviews and stuff, like, oh, one of the biggest activists to come out of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of going, what? How did this happen? it was pretty overwhelming, and you know, but I took to it like a duck to water as well. It was kind of like, you know what, I've seen this for a long time happen in the industry. I've experienced stuff myself. So I said, you know, let's just do it. You know, again, what better time? So, yeah, so we did the Irish report and we got in touch with a lot of radio stations. To this date, only two Irish radio stations made a public statement. And that's like...
Interesting.
Yeah, to this day. So it's only Beat FM and RTE Radio 1. And both of them have said that they, like, Radio 1 was gender parity anyway. So they were brilliant. And we had like the likes of Martina McGlynn, who's a senior producer in Radio 1, who's also the head of music, but she's on the music playlist committee. And she kind of said, look, what we do is very simple. We meet up as an effective playlist committee and team, and we sit down and we go, right, we have to make sure this is gender parity. We have to make sure there's diversity because we are a national broadcaster and we must, by our broadcasting license, you know, basically represent the culture of what is in Ireland. And they're not the only radio station that has this when they're given a license. Every radio station, yeah, if they're given a license by the BAI, have to adhere by the licensee broadcasting rules. None of them do. None of them have to. I've spoken to the BAI and they were like, nothing we can do. You're not the first, Linda. You won't be the last. It'll probably take you 5 years to even make any sort of change.
Yeah, so that's a really frustrating attitude that I see and hear of a lot in Irish society. It's kind of like, yeah, nothing we can do. First of all, despite the fact that they're actually the body that's surely supposed to be the body doing something. And then they're like, it'll take you a while now to get change there. It's like, well, if you helped, it might not
take as long. I know, and it was for 3 or 4 women that we were talking to. And it was like, we're all women here. You're not the first. You won't be the last. And they kept telling me, they'd introduced me to people I'd already known.
Yeah.
And I was kind of looking at them going, you keep saying you'll introduce me to Margaret E. Ward, or you'll introduce me to these different women that are activists. I know them. They're on my WhatsApp. We chat every day and they're like, we can introduce you to these people. They will help. And I'm like, you're the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Yeah. You know, and they wouldn't comment publicly. They wouldn't say, haven't supported us publicly. They haven't done nothing, like, you know, so that's really disappointing. But yeah, so we kind of had a lot of, you know, a backlash. And by we, it was primarily just me and Anya at this stage. We didn't have any volunteers or a team behind us that we have now. But the first few weeks, it was very difficult. But yeah, so we ended up doing back-to-back interviews. And then at the same time, like, we started all this in March last year, but we didn't publish until the June. But around the June period, a singer-songwriter, an artist from Ireland, Ruth Ann Cunningham, who I loved her music, and she was putting up stuff that she was doing a project called Irish Women in Harmony. So I got in touch and I said, look, we are just putting out, like, we just put out a report, you know, I'd love to cross, kind of synergize anything, you know, some sort of synchronicity, because, you know, it's taken 40 women on one song, and it's been pushed, you know, by big members of the industry, like Caroline Desmond, who manages Hoisier, and, you know, huge industry people behind it, like Ruby Works and stuff like that. So I said, this is going to work, like, you know, you will, this will succeed, you know, because number one, they wanted to succeed. And if the likes of MCG, who, you know, Caroline Desmond is if they want something to work, it works, you know, and they have a lot of weight and pull with radio, you know. So lo and behold, it was one of the biggest songs to come out of Ireland. And a lot of radio stations thought, you know, for sure, we're supporting women now. But there's one song by one, you know, female collective. And just to give you kind of a stat, like, you know, the Women in Harmony covered the Cranberries hit song Dreams, right? It was recorded by 39 female artists. And it's like, so far, it's got 48 million radio impacts, which is like the audience reach in the last few months, right?
Yeah.
But in the same period of time, we have Dermot Kennedy, who has released a single, Giants, and then subsequent singles since, at the same time, from June 29th, the week of June 29th, 25th last year, and he has amassed over 355 million impacts. So he's one guy.
That number blows my actual mind. I didn't realise he was...
He's huge. He's the biggest artist ever. He's outdone Hoisier. He's outdone Gavin James. He's outdone Snow Patrol. Every artist that's come out of Ireland, probably in the last 10-year period, Dermot Kennedy is the most successful Irish artist of the last decade. Mm-hmm. And he has... it's crazy. And then we went and did the UK report. I had been watching a lot of seminars online over COVID and just, you know, being empowered by different women and stuff. And I watched this incredible seminar with Vic Bain, who's a music industry consultant in the UK, and Nadia Khan of Women in Control. She's a music manager, and she kind of runs a collective of female industry kind of personnel and people from all different sides of the industry. And Alison Fenham. There was just these amazing women on this panel, and I was just kind of looking, and a woman from Maxi, I think her name was, from the Key Change program was up, and Key Change is all about getting gender parity, this company and collective. And I had previously got in touch with Key Change and said, look, you know, I'd love to become involved. And they were like, yeah, no, we don't think no, you're not somebody we want to have working.
Wow.
Okay, fair enough. I ended up getting more coverage myself than their entire organization spread over the world. So in less than 6 months. So I was kind of like, ouch, you know. So they picked different people to represent from Ireland. And to be honest, I don't even know who they picked from Ireland, but they haven't really done much. And it was a real kick, you know, because I was kind of like, you know, like I have a lot of data and I have a lot of stuff here that I have, and yous are about that. Again, it's like the BAI. There's a lot of women that pit themselves against each other in the industry, and I just really want that to change, you know. But yeah, so we went and we ended up doing the UK, because again, when the Irish one went so massive, everyone was kind of asking, like, we had different countries from different continents, like, you know, getting in touch and kind of going, oh, would you do one over here, would you do one over here? And I was kind of, whoa, this is crazy. So yeah, so I had contacted Nadia Khan after watching a panel that she had done on women in music and stuff like that, and dealing with misogyny and dealing with, you know, just a very male heavy dominated industry where the woman's voice isn't always heard. So anyway, so I contacted her, and it took me about a month to convince her to help me, because I said, look, you know, I work in the UK. I've worked in the UK for years, but I would be really more comfortable if I had a woman supporting another organization or any organization to support. And I really like what you're doing. So we had a very long Zoom call, and you know, I was actually, it was the first time I'd seen my girlfriend in months, because she'd come over to Dublin and we rented this apartment. And I'll never forget it, because I was looking out over kind of O'Connell Street, and I was having this chat with Nadia, and something, just even just talking to her, like, you know, Amanda kind of looked over at me, and because she was listening to the conversation as well, and she was like, this feels right, you know, this feels right. Yeah. So, and I said to Nadia, I said, look, do you want to do it? I said, I'm talking to you now the last few weeks, just do it with me. I said, trust me, I know it will change. I know it will bring about change. So she said, right, okay, we'll do it. So within the next few weeks, we had put out the music industry, the gender disparity data report on the radio. A lot of the biggest radio stations in the UK, and The Guardian ran the exclusive, and then the Sunday Times and The Independent, and we were on different, you know, we were everywhere. And it's nearly got 70 million views to this day. So it really went massive. I mean, like Becky Hill and Dua Lipa, we've loads of people come on board and support, but and it led to a lot of structural change in the industry in the UK. And it was weird, because within the first week, within the first day of the report being published by The Guardian, The Guardian had, because we'd given the exclusive the week leading up before we published it, because I just got in touch with this one of the editors in The Guardian, Laura, and I said, look, Laura, this is like we want as many people to publish this. And she said, give me the exclusive and we'll make a big shout about it. So I said, okay, right, grand. So she had it. So she got in touch with the different radio stations like Bauer Media and BBC and a lot of different the likes of what Today FM and Communicorp and stuff, and the wireless group would be in Ireland. And the wireless group actually own a lot of stations in the UK as well. So these, I say there was a dartboard, Claire, with my fucking head on it. Like, because I'd say they were like, oh, Jesus, she's off in the UK now. And the UK was so big, like, it was just so massive. Like, whatever about Ireland? Ireland is only bloody catching up now. Like, this was instant in the UK. So we went hell for leather with the UK, and within the first day of it being published, Bauer Media got back, BBC, Global Group got back, and they said, we're going to take on board immediately the information that we have, and we're going to pledge towards gender parity. And they have, like, BBC brought out a 50-50 incentive of introducing gender parity, diversity, inclusion. It's going amazing. They've already started making changes. You know, a lot of you know, major music bodies such as the likes of Imro over here and stuff like that, like AIM, Music UK, PPL, like a lot of the major organizations have changed. Even the people that are on their committees from, you know, men left and exited, and there's like women of color and other women coming in and sitting in the, you know, as chairs. Like, it's Nadia actually became the new chair of AIM in the UK there just a few weeks ago. So it's just seeing this snowball effect. And then we go back to Ireland and it's like, no, sure, women can't make music. You know, sure, they're not supposed to be on the radio. And you're kind of going, like, what is wrong? What is wrong?
Yeah, that's people? Great that you've seen all those like improvements in the UK, but it's pretty disappointing that if you haven't seen the same level of commitment made here, like,
it's terrible. Again, only two stations publicly.
Do you think that there might be something to do with, like, do you think that the media maybe in the UK held these music organizations to more account? Or do you think, you know, because our Irish sort of radio stations just getting away with not acknowledging it because they're not being pushed to acknowledge
they're
it? Or what
away
do you think
with it?
Like,
they're getting away with it. They don't have to, like, they don't have to play. They play what they want to play. And this is what, like, we're moving now towards a legislative change and trying to enact a legislative change.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've been talking to Minister Martin and, you know, the Green Party, and talking to the Social Democrats, Social Democratic Party and the Labour Party, and a few other leaders of parties. And we're just kind of, you know, I'm chatting to them about the data. I'm telling them, like, we've been in touch with the president. Like, he's given us this, you know, support and stuff like that. So it's starting to kind of get into the hands of people that, you know, are hearing it. But, like, they would have seen it anyway, like, in the last few months. There's no way you would not have heard about it. But because they're seeing now that a lot of people are talking about it, like, we launched a Why Not Sure campaign last month, where we asked the general public to send in solidarity photos. So basically, it's like kind of them holding a banner of, like, Why Not Sure. And we just aim to get like 100 in. Like, I just said, you know, we're going to do a poster campaign around the country. If we have even 100 on a collage, it'd be cool. We got over 1,000 in the first week.
Wow.
Like, from all over the country, like from little children to elderly people to, you know, really cool, like Lucy Spraggan, who was one of my clients in the UK. Like, she's a huge LGBT singer-songwriter. I mean, I'm sure you heard of Lucy Spraggan. She's brilliant. Like, we just had loads of different people kind of show support and solidarity from then. Outside of Ireland and like the diaspora, like people from Canada, from New York, like, it was just mad. And we launched a campaign, and RTE News had got in touch, the 6-1, and they were like, look, this is incredible. Like, you know, we want to, this is an important issue concerning, you know, Ireland, the culture, and we want to run a piece on the 6-1 News. So I was kind of like, shit. Okay, this is getting real, you know. So, and we'd already done all this in the UK, which was great, but in Ireland it was very slow, like, you know. But I said, right, okay, this is starting to work, this is starting to happen. So we recorded, you know, we pre-recorded a special for RTE News, and they ran it like about 2 weeks ago. So literally within, from publishing the report on the 24th of January, like, we've got nearly 2 million views of the report, just the isolated report. This isn't like audience reach of like exposure or anything like that. So it was pretty big, like, after the news went out. And I had different people from all over, like, you know, the legal circuit and, you know, data research and stuff, emailed the organization. They were like, look, we want to support, and like political parties and leaders and stuff like that. And they were like, look, this is, and it's mad, like, it's just a difference in just getting the likes of RTE behind us, like, the RTE News. Because, you know, it's one of the biggest news broadcasting.
Yeah,
TV.
And it's the biggest broadcaster in the country. And, like, especially there's one of the biggest radio broadcasters as well. So that's,
yeah.
That
and they were great. You know, they've done very good, you know. And you know, the likes of 2FM, they were 90% mostly male artists played on their playlist. And that was under the kind of period of Alan Swan being the head of music. And then a change to Adam Fogarty, who's actually a member of the band Mango Mathman, a dance kind of duo, rap, urban hip hop. And he is the new head of music. And that was a weird choice for 2FM, because I would have thought I would have went to Emma Power, who has been Alan Swan's right hand person for a long time. I would have thought, you know, this is 2FM's, you know, chance to give it to a woman. But anyway, they didn't, and Adam got it, which was fine. But I contacted, you know, everyone in radio, and it took a good while to get them to change, but they did. Yeah. And I contacted, you know, Tracy Clifford and Owen. And because I mean, I work in radio the past, oh Jesus, like full-time 12 years, you know, but I'm 17 years in the music industry, you know, and I used to play in loads of bands myself. So I know how it works, you know, so I know these people, you know, a good while. And then there was, of course, a lot of, oh, you're throwing me under the bus, like, oh, lambs to slaughter. What are you? And I'm like, this is not about your ego. This is not about you as a DJ. Or I said, this is about women and their voices not being heard.
And silence on the airwaves. Yeah.
Yeah, this is like about a cultural shift that needs to happen, that people need to hear women on the radio. Like, you know, because radio, again, going back to the origin of why it happened, they're not only are they not being played, but they're being denied fair and equitable, you know, the means to actually make a fair and equitable revenue and money akin to their male counterparts. And this is a breach of human rights. Like there's a article, like a section 23 of the EU Commission of Human Rights, which is in the Irish Constitution, where we have to treat the sexes, you know, equal yeah. opportunity. But there isn't equal opportunity when they're not being played in the radio just because they're women, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a violation of human rights. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people from the legal area came to us and said, look, we can take them to, you know, we can. And I said, no, I don't want to go that route. I don't want to go that aggressive, rah, we're going to bring yeah. you down. You know, I just said, no, let's leave it with them. But it's taken bloody 6 months, like, you know, and I left it with them. And it went from like 8% women on the radio to 11% in 6 months, because they all thought, ah, here's this angry gay feminist that's just gonna, she'll shut up eventually, but sure, I haven't, like, you know, and I'm yeah. not going to. So in the last few weeks we have seen a huge turnaround. Like we've seen the likes of, you know, FM 104 is now starting to play women on air. You know, they went from, you know, 100% mostly male voices on their heavy Oof. Rotation playlist for the last 5 years consecutively to now like 10% women. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but in a 5 year period it is a big jump.
You know, I think it's so funny because I think that there's this perception that women are really prevalent in the music industry. I know that, like, mm-hmm. anytime somebody tried to challenge me on, like, sort of the gender roles in different yeah. jobs, they'd be like, yeah, well, like, music is an example where, like, women have everything. Like, look, Lady Gaga. And it's like, well, yeah. I think you definitely need to take a more nuanced look at it than yeah. that. And I think it's really interesting because you had the data to back it up, to be like,
that is power.
Oh my God, it's so powerful, isn't it?
But there still is people that will fight it. Like when I have my brother is a philosophy student and he is like the biggest anti-feminist. And I mean, oh my God, the enraged discussions we have had. And I just, at this stage, I'm just like, you know what? I can't engage in this conversation anymore because he's not looking at the data. He's just looking
That's
at his
the
opinion.
Thing. It's like data really proves sort of the point. Like you can't really argue with.
But they will. And they do.
Well, that's true. But
you know, and it's kind of like
you would think that you couldn't really argue with data. Like you can definitely say, well, maybe you feel like there are more men played, but that's not the case. But then you're like, well, actually, the data shows it very, very much is the case.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was. I remember seeing that at the time and being like shocked with the numbers. Like I guess I wasn't shocked with kind of the conclusion, if you know what I mean. Like I feel like I would have already sort of suspected that just from obviously listening to the radio, but the numbers just blew me away. I didn't expect the disparity to be that big.
Terrible.
It was really powerful stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I've talked to a lot of the DJs and a lot of the presenters and the heads of music, and you know, I mean, obviously I can't go into the details of who yeah, said of what and when and where. Like I do welcome the change. I welcome and I appreciate the likes of Adam in 2FM and the likes of, you know, Gavin Ward in 98FM and Spin and Niall Power in Beat. You know, I do appreciate the fact that despite them not publicly saying, you know, we're going to support the Why Not Her movement, they have supported in their own way and they have started to play women. Like, you know, I mean, Spin 103.8, Spin Southwest and 98FM, like they're all really, they're approaching parity and they're yeah. the only station other than RTE Radio 1 that have done that in Ireland, you know. 2FM are closely following behind, but yeah, and Beat are at like 35% parity, which is huge compared to what
That's
they were.
That's a big jump, yeah.
It's huge, like it's huge. And it's great because a lot of what we've seen was performative stuff. Like when the report was out last year, it's like, oh, shit, we better start paying women. And we'll have like a woman music week. And, you know, everyone thought, yay, this is great. And I'm like, we don't want a bloody week just playing women. We want
A systemic change because I mean, I presume that's what's caused it is, you know, because you play more sort of male artists, you listen to more male artists and it just sort of spirals then. Like it's not, no one's going out of their way, I suppose.
It's just
a systemic thing that you start in radio doing it and then it keeps going.
Yeah, it does. And you see all these amazing, it's a really great time for change to happen, I think, with COVID, because, you know, people have the time now because a lot of us, our work has been very, very, you know, it has been affected. Yeah. So, you know, whilst a lot of us are still lucky enough to make, like, I still have a job and I'm thankful for that. Like, but it's not as busy as it was previously because there's no gigs, there's no events. Yeah. I that's what I work in. So it's a really good time. And you see a lot of women that are, you know, powerful and, you know, very good at their jobs, just moving over to activism, moving over and being the change they want to see in the world. And as tacky as that sounds and as cliched as that sounds, we have to do it because nobody else will, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of what I learned. It's kind of, you know, if you want to be the change in the world, you know, you have sometimes, yeah, you have, or if you want to see the change in the world, sometimes you have to be it, like, you know. And I'm just a person, you know, it could have been anybody, you know. It's just it was the right time, and we did it in a way that was very easily digestible, and how we did the reports and stuff like that. And, you know, it's led to one of the biggest, well, the biggest gender equality movement in the music industry history around the world, not just Ireland. Like, so it's huge. Like, well, we didn't think that would happen, you know.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of things, it's like the post-it. When people go, oh, who designed the post-it? I'm sure everyone had the post-it in mind. They probably did, like, you know, but nobody did it until somebody goes, I'm going to design the post-it.
That's the thing. It's mad. It takes somebody to actually just say it and point it out. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that is why it kind of, you know, snowballed and landslide, because people were just, it's what people wanted, but they were afraid to ask. And, you know, we still see, like, we haven't, you know, the likes of all the major male artists that are being heavily played on Irish radio, they still haven't supported, they haven't stood in solidarity, they haven't mentioned anything and nothing whatsoever. So that is really disappointing.
That is so disappointing.
Especially because a lot of them virtue signal that they're justice seekers and equality seekers. Way, like, you're not.
I'd be a firm believer of the rising tide rises all ships. Like, and it's not. Yeah, that's disappointing to hear, actually.
Yeah. If we work together, we rise together. But this is I've had, you know, big music managers, like, people come back to me going, oh, they're not impressed with what you're doing. You know, you're changing, you know, the revenue system for their clients. And I was kind of like, and this, the things I've been calling, I mean, there's been groups set up and everything, like Facebook groups and trolling, you know, rape threats, death threats, like, it's ridiculous. And you're kind of going, really? Like, I'm just a woman asking for women's voices to be heard, and that's all. Like, it's not my opinion. It's not my opinion based. It's data based. I didn't know how bad it was going to be until I did it. So yeah, it's been an absolute roller coaster.
Wow. Yeah, sometimes that's the price to pay nearly for being like a public woman, is unfortunately that you get these threats. But fair play to you for not letting it stop the movement.
Because
it is really important, and it's I'm so glad to hear that there's that much change so far. Like, obviously with you need more, but like, at least the cogs are moving a little. And I guess, are you continuing to, like, monitor the data, and are you hoping that you'll be able to maybe do a comparative report in the future and see the difference, or?
Yeah, well, we just did the 6 month comparative report.
The 6 month one. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So we're going to do that every 6 months.
Okay.
Until I'm blocked from the radio monitor site, which probably is going to happen at some stage. But yeah, look, I'm sure I'm hated by a lot of people, but sure, look, I think, you know, you're doing something right when a lot of people hate you.
And I didn't Words really to live know, by.
I swear to God, I didn't really know what the origin of that, because I've heard that said so many times, like in history, you know, what was it, Marilyn Monroe or Eleanor Roosevelt said, you know, seldom behaved women make history, you know. It's always when you step outside the box of what you're supposed to behave like. But yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I've been told I'd never work in the industry again. I've destroyed my career, and you know, I'm still standing. You know, it's you know, I've only been as affected as anybody else has in COVID. Like, you know, a lot, like the clients that I do have are doing very well, and you know, it hasn't really. You know, I'm still going strong. Like, but yeah, I can understand why a lot of people are afraid and nervous to kind of speak up. And we still have. Like, we went from having one person of colour, which was Soleil, that was in the report, the initial report, that was the only one black artist that was played in an entire year on heavy rotation Irish radio. And that has gone from one black artist or artist of colour in 6 months to 11. So that's pretty significant.
That's a significant change. Still a low number, but it's a really significant
it's
change.
It's huge change. Like, from one to 11 is you know, it's over, like, it's like 1,000% of an increase. Like, it's huge, like, but... You know, we want to see more diversity. We want to see more support and, you know, just inclusion and stuff. And what we have done is we've issued out an invitation action plan to radio that we have compiled, the Why Not Your Committee, because in the last few months, we have had a lot of volunteers and we now have an army of badass women, like, and we have a great team that are kind of working nonstop, and it's all for free. We're all like unpaid activists. But we're doing it because it's very rewarding when you see the change happening. And just, if we don't do it, nobody else will, you know. So it's been a huge, you know, interesting journey and experience. But we just issued that action plan to radio where we have furnished them with diversity and inclusion packages and how they can go about making the change. Because a lot of radio stations got back to us and said, oh, we don't have the budget to get a D&I committee in. Like, we're just going to continue as we are. So what we've done is, I got like literally one of the best, like 40 under 40 top women in the world who puts these types of plans together. And she did it as part of the Why Not Her Collective. Like if I was to have, I mean, if this woman had to charge us, you're talking a lot of money for her time. The same as myself. If I bloody, you know, we're all very successful women of our own accord and in our own professions, like, you know, so we have, Brenda Donoghue, Dr. Brenda Donoghue, was a research analyst. She's brilliant. And Bernadette Sexton, who's one of the top D&I, incredible woman based in London, Irish woman as well, and myself. So we put together this plan, this action plan. We furnished it to radio. And so far, only two stations got back going, fair play to you. Oh, keep going. You're doing great. And we're supportive. But the rest of them, nothing at all. So that was only issued last week. So hopefully more will come on board and go, you know, thanks for taking the time to do this and to teach us how to be better. But we'll see. It's Ireland and it's Irish radio and it's predominantly white cis male behind the mic and they don't really want to be upset.
Fair play to you. It's a really, really brilliant initiative. Can you remind everyone like how to follow you, how to follow it, how to support?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Why Not Her, just hashtag Why Not Her. And we also have a cool podcast, the Why Not Her podcast, which you can catch us on any platform, any podcast platform. And yeah, we reached five continents in the first like 2 months with that. We released it in December and over 132 different cities around the world have tuned in. It's been brilliant. So yeah, just Why Not Her, whynother.net. And I'm Linda Coogan Byrne, and you can find me at Linda Coogan Byrne across different social media platforms.
And I'll put all your links in the description. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me again. Like anyone that is kind of supporting us and getting in touch and going, look, it's just I just am so thankful for people having the conversation because I think when conversations start around topics like racism and gender disparity and gender pay gap, it's when conversations happen that change can occur and start to ripple through, especially social movements. So thanks a million for the platform and for allowing me to talk today about it.
Of course. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast. We're on YouTube. We're on all the good audio platforms. And I shall see you in the next one. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.